Welcome to Tucson in Review, and good morning. My name is Betsy Bruce, and with me in studio is Karen Harkson, who is the president and founder of Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary. Thank you so much for coming, Karen.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
I was about to say it's a horse rescue and sanctuary, but you know what? Equine is
yes.
the word that cues you in.
Yes.
How long ago did you establish Equine Voices?
I started Equine Voices last August 2004. And since then, I'm a nonprofit and 501c3 tax-exempt organization. And we rescue horses, primarily mares and foals, from the Premarin industry.
Yes. Explain what that is all about. That has been in the news. It kind of comes and goes in different news stories, but explain that, please.
Well, Premarin is a hormone replacement drug that women take during menopause. And what most women and people don't understand is that it comes from pregnant mare's urine. And because of a recent study that was put out to the public in 2002 by the Women's Health Initiative, what it revealed was that this drug, Premarin and Prempro, causes ovarian cancer, blood clots, dementia. They're linked to all kinds of ill health effects in women. And because of that, Wyeth Pharmaceuticals, the sales have dropped, you know, for the Premarin pill. And because of that, there are over 20,000 mares and foals that are at risk of going to slaughter. And actually, many are going to slaughter. And when I learned about this issue, I decided to have a voice, you know, make a voice for the horses and do what I can to save as many as I can.
Yeah. Now, do the mares and foals that you save, are they necessarily in the southern Arizona area? Because I can't imagine that transporting them from the far reaches, that would be an extra huge effort.
Right. Well, there aren't any Premarin farms in Arizona.
Right.
My ranch is in southern Arizona. When I first rescued my first four Premarin babies, I wasn't even in the area at that time. I was in California. There were seven babies left that came from a farm in North Dakota. That farm was shutting down because their contract was not renewed. And there were seven babies left that were going to slaughter, and they had a deadline. And their deadline was prior to me, you know, finding the ranch and moving to southern Arizona. So I rescued the four of them, and they did come from North Dakota. Most of the farms are in Canada. So some of the horses that I have on the ranch right now have come from Canada.
Yeah. So in other words, I apologize for being so naive, but there would be ranches dedicated solely to Premarin production.
Correct.
Yeah. And approximately how many are still going on at this point?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have an exact figure on that. I know that many of the farms have gone out of business, probably half. I know there used to be about 500 farms, and I believe the number is around 250 or less. The interesting thing is there's a new advertising campaign from Wyeth Pharmaceuticals touting Prempro, go low with Prempro. And Premarin also, which is a lower dosage of the pill. However, what they're not telling women is that it still causes cancer, and they're not telling people, even doctors don't realize where it comes from, that it's coming from pregnant mare's urine. And basically, the mares are kept in very confined stalls. Their water is withheld from them on a regular basis because they want that urine to be concentrated. And in my opinion, it's extremely abusive, although some farms are very clean. You know, they're standing on paved concrete stalls, and they can't even lay down.
Yeah.
So
is the bigger objective for you personally to improve conditions at these Premarin farms, or to completely? I mean, it's so tough because we, as the human animal, often take advantage of animals that are underneath us on the the hierarchy.
Right.
So, what is your ultimate goal if you were queen of the equine world?
If I was queen of the equine world and was very wealthy,
yes,
my ultimate goal would be to see these farms shut down,
yeah,
honestly. But that's not going to happen. I don't have that kind of power.
Yeah.
The pharmaceutical companies are large. You know, they're very wealthy. They've made lots of money off of these horses.
Yeah.
I think my goal is to save as many as I can, adopt them out, and also educate the public about the plight of the PMU. We call them PMU ranch or PMU horses, pregnant mare's urine. Yeah. That's where the PMU comes from. And educate the public and educate women that there are alternatives to using urine-based, you know, hormone replacement drugs.
Exactly. Is it, Karen, just because, you know, the doctor will present the case, okay, here is this drug that will do you substantial good, but it has a number of risks. Is that why it's still on the market? Because in this day and age, we hear a lot about drugs being plucked completely off the market because their side effects are so scary.
Right. Well, and I honestly am surprised that it hasn't happened. I'm reading a book called The Greatest Experiment Ever Performed on Women. And in 1942, when the drug was developed, it was tested on women in the concentration camps. And they knew back then that it caused cancer.
Yeah.
And since then, it's been one of the number one selling drugs in America, which is really surprising to me. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that not all the information is disclosed. And I think sometimes, in all honesty, there are women that take the pill because they want relief from their symptoms, that it really doesn't matter where it comes from or what the side effects are going to be in the long term. They just want to get rid of what is happening to them at that moment. So,
understandable.
But my understanding, and I work closely with doctors and nurses, my understanding is the drug is not being prescribed as often. Yeah. They're not seeing as many women taking it. So obviously the information is getting out there,
yeah,
which is my goal.
Exactly. Which, in fact, would probably bring an influx of mares and young horses to your ranch, certainly. So it's kind of a double-edged sword.
It is, and it's difficult because I only have 10 acres. So there's only and I don't have any pasture, so there's only so much I can do. And that's why my adoption program is so important, is to be able to find really good loving homes for these horses. And that allows me to rescue more.
Yeah.
Basically.
Now, because these the mares, the horses that you have were raised primarily because, you know, they were pretty much, their urine was being sold to pharmaceutical companies, does that mean they still they need to be broken, or can you ride them? How does that work?
Well, they come abused. We have, well, the four babies that I rescued, Gulliver, who is our mascot and our logo, and his friends, that the four that came from North Dakota, they're really the reasons why I started Equine Voices. They were young. They were 11 months old. They didn't go through the P-line. They were going to slaughter. They're the byproduct of the industry. Mm-hmm. They didn't come abused. They weren't handled. They didn't know how to have a halter put on them. They didn't know how to pick up their feet. They were scared to death of flies, spray, things like that. So I had to work with them to get used to human contact. And we do natural horsemanship ways. We work naturally with our horses in every way possible, including nutrition and stuff like that. The mares, I mean, it's a really good question, because the mares that come in, we have six mares on the ranch right now, and they're all very head shy. I don't know how they were treated. I mean, it's hard for me to know exactly, except that I can just watch them and learn from them. And by their actions, I know that they haven't been treated very well or very kindly. You know, it takes a lot of time. What I do is bring them to my ranch and they settle in, and I try to get them used to me and slowly try to get the halter on them and, you know, get them to lead and that sort of thing. There are some people that are willing to adopt them and have the skills to be able to train them themselves, but that's a little more difficult to find people that have those natural horsemanship skills.
Absolutely.
So it just depends on the situation.
When you have somebody come by, and obviously you actually are open to the public, so even if you might not be necessarily interested in adopting one of these wonderful animals, you can come and take a tour of Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary?
Yes, we're open to the public by appointment. I live on the ranch, and so I do. I like to know who is coming on the ranch, and it's by appointment because I try to do a thorough tour and explain where the horses that are there have come from and tell their story and then talk about our programs. And I feel that that's one way that I can educate the public about not only the Primarin issue, the horses, but just the other things that we're doing, you know, at the ranch, our other programs.
Absolutely.
That we offer.
We'll get into that in just a bit. But for somebody who is interested maybe in adoption, do you make an appointment with you to come down and visit the animals?
Yes. On my website, I try to keep it as current as possible. And I have the horses that I have up for adoption on the website. And people can contact me either through the website or call me. And then what I do is a preliminary screening. I do have a woman that is my adoption coordinator, and she's taking over that aspect of the program. And what we do is have a preliminary questionnaire and then have them come out and look at the horses. And if there's a fit, our big goal is to make the perfect fit for the human and for the horse, because we want these adoptions to be successful. And I'm picky. I mean, I know where the horses have come from, and I don't want them to end up in a bad situation. So I'm really picky. We have an adoption packet, paperwork that they have to fill out, and then we do home visits. After a year, they receive title of the animal, provided during that year they're cared for. If not, I haven't had to take back a horse yet. And one of the reasons why we pre-screen so thoroughly is so that doesn't happen Absolutely. Down the road. So.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And is there a charge to adopt a horse from you?
There is. Yeah. It depends on the horse. It depends on how much I have to pay to get them from Canada or North Dakota. Transportation usually costs as much as what the horse costs.
Yeah.
Because most of these horses are going to slaughter. I have 6 pregnant mares on my ranch right now that we're going to slaughter pregnant. And, I mean, if you think about that, that's a really horrible thought. But, you know, the horse, whatever the meat is going for per pound is what the horse is being sold for. And then if they're coming from Canada, you might as well double that price because of the transportation costs. So what I try to do is just break even with the horse. I'll charge whatever the horse costs me. And I take that money and try to rescue more horses. The running of the ranch and keeping the hay stocked and grain and that sort of thing comes from public donations, fundraisers, and sponsorship, our sponsorship program, things like that.
Yeah.
Grants.
Now, you've got a really nice brochure that I am looking over with photographs of some of these beautiful horses. But on the back is our needs. And if somebody – is this on your website as well?
So yes.
They could, an individual could target any one of these items – case in point, laptop computer, stock trailer, fly repellent traps, lead ropes, and give you that certainly as a gift too.
Correct.
Yeah.
And because we're a nonprofit, because we are tax exempt, it's a tax write-off for individuals that do want to support the cause.
Yeah. Volunteers, you've got listed under our needs.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the different, do volunteers come down and you put them to work at a bunch of different aspects of the operation down there, or can you have maybe a specialty when it comes to working around horses?
It depends on the individual. What we try to do is match the needs that we have at the ranch with the skills the individuals have and what they would like to do, because we want to make that a good fit and a good working relationship. We want our volunteers to be happy. Right now we have about 45 volunteers. 23 of them are coming on a regular basis. So it's anything from shoveling manure, which is really fun, actually. And this is for people that may not know a lot about horses but want to be outside and learn about horses. It's a great way to start. If the person has horse experience, the horses always need attention, grooming, you know, getting their feet picked out, walking them, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I need help with outreach. I'm doing more and more public speaking engagements and tabling events where I can go out and actually talk to people about our organization and what we're doing, and I need people to help me with that. There's all kinds of ways that individuals can can help in the volunteer program.
My guest on Tucson in Review is Karen Harkson. She is the president and founder of Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary in Green Valley. If I decide to come visit or volunteer, approximately how much time should I give myself to get down to your ranch from Tucson proper?
Well, we are just south of Green Valley. We're at Elephant Head, which is at the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains. So we're at the last exit of Green Valley, and then you head into the mountains, which is about a 10-minute drive from the I-19.
Okay.
Depending, Tucson's just depends.
Yeah.
From the 10 and the 19, it's about maybe 35 minutes or so.
Okay.
So that kind of gives you an idea.
And you have really an incredible fundraiser/event coming up April 9th through the 9th and 10th.
8th, 9th, and 10th.
8th, 9th, and 10th. Please explain so we can participate in that.
Okay. Well, it's we are honored, and I feel privileged to have Anna Twinney come to our ranch. I mean, it just is overwhelming. I've known Anna for quite a long time. When I used to work at Return to Freedom Wild Horse Sanctuary in California, she actually developed the International School for Monty Roberts, who is classified as the original horse whisperer. And for 7 years, she's been working with him. She has just an incredible amount of knowledge when it comes to starting horses and working with horses that have been abused or wild horses. She has launched her own business and travels all over the world teaching people natural horsemanship skills. So we're fortunate to have her. It's doubling as a fundraiser. We have booked the hands-on. There were 7 slots for people to actually either bring their horses or use my horses. And that is booked, and so now we are welcoming auditors, people that would like to come and see her work and work, you know, watch people work with the horses. Friday night is a demonstration, and it's from 5:45, 6 o'clock, it'll probably start, till about 8:30, and she'll be working with a couple of our horses and probably a few volunteers, just sort of... It's just sort of educating the public or the people that are there about her techniques. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's from 8:30 to 5, and the auditors will be watching the people that have the horses that are hands-on. We'll be doing some round pen work, an obstacle course. She has a few videos to show. Some of it's classroom as well, not just the, you know, the round pen work. So she covers various areas. We'll probably start a horse under saddle, which will be exciting because all my horses are wild. So that'll be interesting for me to watch how she approaches a horse and gets them ready to have a saddle put on them. So that gives you an idea of what we're doing.
Yeah. Now, can you buy a ticket for all three events, all 3 days, or can you come on an individual basis? How do you go about doing that?
You can come on an individual basis. I think it's difficult for people to book the entire weekend to come. Yeah. Friday night is an open house, pretty much. People can come, and if they're interested in coming Saturday or Sunday or both days, they're welcome to. You can pay at the door. Some people have paid in advance, but we have room, so it's really not a big deal. I mean, it's open to as many people that want to attend. It's $15 for Friday evening, and it's $25 for Saturday and $25 for Sunday. And it's tax deductible because it comes in as a donation. And then we're asking people to bring their own chairs if possible on Saturday and Sunday. Lunch is not included, so I'm asking people to either bring their lunch or they can run into town.
Is there a phone number that we can have our listeners call just in case they want to call and get more information, or they might not have a computer to visit and gather more information?
Yes, the number to the office is 520-398-2814.
And again, how to get to your website, which really has a lot of great information?
It's www.equinevoices.org. And there is a link to Anna Twinney's site as well, which really, it's a beautiful site and has all her information and her her upcoming clinics.
Now, it looks like another way that you collect funds is you actually have a gift shop out there at Jumpin' Jack Ranch.
Well, we're just starting a gift shop. I mean, we have a gift shop on the website. We sell our hats. We're trying to raise money to have some T-shirts made and jean shirts and things like that. It's evolving. We do sell books. I'm in the process of having some beautiful silver medallions made with the Gulliver logo, who is our guy. And they're just.
I take it Gulliver, you're not going to let him be adopted.
No. Gulliver is our man. In fact, I could have adopted him probably 20 times over. But he's representing the byproduct, the Premarin babies, you know, and what they go through. He's incredible.
And is there a significance to the name?
A name that my husband came up with. He thought it fit because he's a big Clydesdale cross. He's a year and 8 months old, and his feet are bigger than any feet I've ever seen in my life. And so he's just a really unique boy. He actually looks like a mule without the ears. So
you know what? I know, because I look at this great embroidery, this hat that you gave me. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I thought that is one equine filled with lots of character. And obviously, that's a very good rendition.
Yes.
Big, fun hooves.
And sweet. Yeah. He's a lap horse. He's sweet.
A lap horse.
Yes.
My goodness. Karen, how many, fill us in again on how many mares and how many colts you have at this point, or just horses altogether out at Jumpin' Jack Ranch?
Well, at this point, we have 17. We've rescued 51 so far, and we've placed those. That includes unborn children, because some of them are pregnant, and they're due in the next month or so that should be fun. But right now we have 17 horses. Two have recently been adopted. They're leaving, the two little colts, little pink colts, are leaving on Sunday tomorrow, or I'm sorry, 2 days from now. And so then we'll be down to 15. So we're waiting for that next probably phone call that says, can you take any more? You know, so it frees us up to be able to take some more.
Why don't you go ahead and dream big and once again pretend that you are the queen of the equine world. How many horses would your ranch accommodate at any given time before things were just too big?
I would say, not to get out of control, we could probably accommodate 25 comfortably. The problem is we have to feed our horses hay. I mean, we have to pay for all the feed, which is really expensive. The hay prices are outrageous right now. And we don't have any grazing. My ultimate goal down the road is to expand my ranch, to either find a parcel that's nearby or find a larger piece of land that has grazing where I can really make a big difference, where I can have 50 to 100 horses at a time type of thing. Right now, I would say 25 comfortably to make sure that they're healthy. I don't want to be an animal collector. I want to make sure that the horses that are with me are getting the best possible care that I can provide. And if you start collecting, that sort of sometimes falls by the wayside. Yeah. So,
Karen, to your knowledge, are there other such ranches like yours across our nation? Anybody else doing exactly what you're doing?
I don't know if there's anyone doing exactly what I'm doing. I think my programs are unique in certain ways. There isn't anybody in Arizona that I'm aware of. I know there's a draft rescue in northern Arizona, but she rescues drafts. Most of my PMU primer horses are drafts, but I also have quarter horses and a variety of horses. I know there's a place in Texas, and other than that, I'm not sure. But there are probably a couple groups out there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have to ask an obvious question, and I wish I wasn't so Hollywood-oriented, but how did Robert Redford do in that movie, The Horse Whisperer? Was that accurate?
I think so. I mean, it was pretty accurate, I guess.
It was very dramatic. Yeah. And it was a well-received movie, certainly.
Exactly.
Yeah. But do you abide by those principles, too, kind of? Well, it's hard to describe, but there's certainly a gentle attitude towards when engaging in when training horses, certainly.
For me, and I'm not a trainer, and I have a lot to learn. I jumped into this with 2 feet, and I did have some experience, 4.5 years of working at Return to Freedom, and that's where I learned about nonprofit work and realized that's the direction I wanted to take with my life. But I've never been there when a mare's had a baby, and I have 6 coming, so this is going to be very interesting. But that's, you just have to sometimes take that leap and go for it. But as far as training horses, my philosophy is horses are incredible spiritual beings. They are so close to humans. I don't think people realize how close they are to us. Spiritually, they're connected. They're very sensitive. My philosophy with horses is it's a two-way conversation. I don't ask anything of my horses that, I wouldn't give to them back type of thing. And so for me, it's a two-way conversation. I listen to them, I watch them, and we build a partnership. And by building that partnership, you can have a long-lasting relationship, just like I think any relationship in life, you know. And I think if you were to come out to the ranch, you would see that because of the way the horses are. Especially the 4 PMU babies, all of them. They're very sweet, and you can just tell that they love being there, and they love the attention, and they love the relationship.
Yeah.
And so that's how I feel about horses. I don't feel you need to use them up and send them off. I believe that they're a responsibility that's a lifelong responsibility, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. They live till 35 years old, 40 years old. And a lot of people have a different philosophy where they're done with their use and, they discard them.
What a great advocate you are.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I love them.
I can tell. Yeah, it definitely shows. Other programs that you might want to mention underneath the auspices of Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary?
Well, we talked about the adoption program. We talked about volunteering, and I welcome anybody to come out. Oh, the one thing I wanted to say about the volunteering program is if you go on my website, you can go under the volunteering page, and then there's a form to fill out. It's very simple, and it comes directly to me, and that helps me stay organized with all the volunteers that come through. And then my volunteer coordinator contacts the person, and the first Saturday of every month, from 10 to 12, we have a volunteer orientation. So we have one tomorrow where we just tell, we just sort of lay out the lay of the land and talk about what we're doing, why we're here, and then get a feeling for those people and try to match their skills, that kind of thing. We have a foster care program where if people cannot adopt a horse for the rest of their life, but they can offer temporary place for the horse to stand until we can find a permanent home, we're looking for foster homes. There's going to come a time where I'll be full and I won't be able to take horses. And that's where I think the foster homes can, come in handy until we can find permanent homes for these animals. So that's one of our programs. And then the other program that I'm excited about is our sponsorship program. For $50 a month for people that can't afford to foster a horse or adopt a horse, but they want to be involved and they have a little bit of income that they want, they can help. It helps defray just some of the hay costs. They'll get a picture of the horse that they sponsor in their story, and it's framed. It's really nice. And so that's a way people can participate, and it's a good way for us to raise a little bit of money to keep the operation running. So that's our sponsorship program. And then our newest program is our youth program. We're in the process of developing our youth program. We have a family that's been coming out to the ranch every Saturday. And actually, they're the beginning of it, and it's evolving from here. They're building a park on the ranch, and they have worked probably the last 6 weeks every Saturday cleaning up the park. And we're going to do make benches, and we're making a pit where if people want to bring kids that are maybe disadvantaged or therapists that would like to bring their classroom or whatever, we're going to have a place where they can instruct or do their teachings there and be around the horses. Because what I'm realizing is horses are our best teachers and our best they help, especially the horses that I have that have been abused. They connect with the kids that come to our ranch that are abused. So that's what the park is going to be there for, and people can just come and sit and enjoy the horses. So it'll be used for multiple things, I guess. But the youth program is really to enlighten young people about the plight of the horse, what's happening, what's happening not just with the PMU horses, but the big issue, which is horse slaughter, and also to provide a place where kids can come and get away from the TV, get away from their computers, get away from just being stuck in the house, and come out and breathe some fresh air and learn a little bit about horses, brushing them, and just maybe even working on a project and building that teamwork. So that's our youth program.
Mm-hmm. Kieran, you've got all your bases covered, because if we have incited some people who really want to write to political officials, they can get that information on who to write to, or they can go to your website.
They can go to my website. Also, what we've done recently, and I did this more as an individual rather than as part of, because I'm not a lobbying group, I'm more of a sanctuary and a 501c3, but I also feel that I'm a band-aid on the problem, because as long as horse slaughter is an option in America, these healthy companion animals are going to slaughter for human consumption abroad, we have a lot of work ahead of us. And so there are a couple of new bills that have been introduced in the Senate and in the House, and we're asking people to write letters to the senators in Arizona, because right now it's legal to slaughter horses in Arizona, although we don't have a horse slaughterhouse here. It's legal. And so what we're asking is Senator McCain and, our representatives to co-sponsor the new bills that have been introduced. One is to help the wild horse situation, which is, H.R. 297, which is to restore the 1971 Wild Free Roaming Horse and Burro Act, because that act has been stripped from the wild horses, and they're being rounded up as we speak, and they're going to slaughter right and left. There's no protection for them as of last, I think it was November or December. So that's a new bill that we're asking for co-sponsorship. And then House Bill H.R. 503, which is the American Horse Slaughter Prevention Act. And people can either contact me and get a letter, or they can go through my website and find out who their representative is and get the addresses and just send it directly. What I find is effective is if we have the letters send them to me, and then myself and a group of people that are very dedicated to this cause will separate the letters and hand deliver them to the various offices, which we did a couple of weeks ago. We had over 430 letters that we delivered to Senator McCain's office alone, and we haven't gotten much of a response, and so we're doubling that number. And if we don't get a response, we're going to double that number. And so I encourage anybody that is interested in ending horse slaughter in America and really cares about these animals to participate in this effort.
Absolutely. We have just a couple of minutes left, Karen, and if you wouldn't mind going over the Natural Horsemanship Clinic that's coming up April 8th through the 10th, please.
Okay. Well, let's see. The April 8th is from about 6 o'clock.
And this is down at your...
It's at Equine, at Jumping Jack Ranch. And so if anybody's interested in attending, what I ask is that you contact me directly, and I can get the directions and the gate code. We do have a gate code, to be able to get in on the ranch. And then I can send out the information or fax over the program, because people might not be able to go to all 3 days but would like to know what the program is so they can pick and choose what day they would like to attend.
Of course.
So Friday night is an introduction to Anna Twinney's techniques, basically, and she will be using a couple of our horses, probably Gulliver and some other PMU babies, and we'll have a volunteer that will be assisting Anna. And then Saturday, which is April 9th, and Sunday, which is the 10th, it's from 8:30 to 5. And basically, Anna will be showing, she'll be doing a variety of things, not just round pen work. It'll be, she'll have demo videos, and she'll have an obstacle course, and just working with horses that don't know much, just the basic training techniques. It's not a riding clinic.
Exactly.
So it's more on the ground type of work. And because she has so much experience with wild Mustangs, she's a perfect fit for what we're doing, because most of our horses could be wild Mustangs, although they're coming from a different area,
exactly.
You know. And then Sunday, it's sort of the same thing. She's basically adding to the Saturday program, advancing those techniques, and hopefully we'll be able to get one of our horses under saddle.
Okay.
On
and just your phone number and the website one more time, Karen Hudson.
Okay. My phone number is 520-398-2814. And the website is www.equinevoices.org.
Thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Really are an inspiration.
Thank you, Betsy.
My name is Betsy Bruce, and this has been Tucson in Review.